Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The Lord is good.
All the time.
Father, we thank you. You have gathered us again. We give you all the praise. We are going to hear the word taught. Before we continue to pray, we know the Lord has granted us insight. Say amen if you believe with me.
Amen.
He has granted us understanding.
Amen.
He has granted us direction.
Amen.
He has removed confusion from our souls.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Therefore, we declare as follows.
That
the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, and I've been filled with the knowledge of His will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right, the Lord is good. Let's take our seats. All right, so good evening, everybody. All right. Welcome to today's School of Prayer. Even though what I want to do today is give a word of exhortation. Okay, let's start from the book of Genesis. I want to explain a principle for life. Let me remind us again, everyone, anyone listening to me, if you are here, you are streaming, you are listening to this later by recording. The most important thing God is doing is changing you into what? The kind of person you are supposed to be. The most important thing is not the additions or the answers to your prayers you can see, things that you think you need. The most crucial, the most vital thing God is doing is making you into the person that you are supposed to be. Don't forget that will last into eternity. Don't forget that will last forever. Anything He gives you on this earth is very temporal. It will pass away. It will pass away. You use it on this earth and then that's it. It's done. But there's something about you that will last forever, what He has made you to be. And for that reason, that is more important to Him than anything else. God gives good gifts. Somebody say amen to that.
Amen.
Yes, He can give bread. He can give fish using the words of the Lord Jesus Christ to His children when they ask. However, all those things, the Bible says, they will perish with using. They will. All right? No matter what He gives, even though He's the one that gives it, it will perish with using. That's the way it is. But then there is something that will go beyond that. And that is what you become in the process of relating with the Lord, in the process of walking with Him, in the process of interacting with even the physical things on this earth. What God placed us here for is for us to be changed, for us to be transformed. The more I reason about it, the more I'm convinced that this earth is a processing platform. I hope you're getting my point. Yes, the period you will live here is short. Relative to many things, is very, very short. You live long, you do 120 years. It is not a long time. Unfortunately, many people, they stagnate in their development very early in life. Yeah, they do. Many people stagnate very early in their development. Please, let that not be your portion. Till your last breath, till the last day you will live on this earth, let there be a continual improvement in your spiritual state. It's very important. It's crucial. And you must value it. That's something I want to say. You must. Hi. You know, I mentioned that I heard Rick Joyner say something. He was talking about the harvest, the army of God, and things like that. And Rick Joyner said, most Christians, I can't remember that he gave that proportion. If he did, then it's 90. He said, most Christians are not properly positioned. They are not where God wants them to be physically now, geographically. That is, maybe God wants the man to be in Port Harcourt, he's in Enugu. God wants him to be in Australia, he's in Japan. God wants him to be in the United States, he's in the United Kingdom. That's the kind of thing we're talking about, all right? God wants the person to be a lawyer, he's an engineer. Stuff like that, that's what I mean. Now, what I want to bring out from that is the reason he gave, which is something we have always said. You know, the will of God, I'll say it again, is not hard to know, like I said the last time, that God could communicate His will, but He does not want to directly do that many times. You can tell the man who is in Port Harcourt by a supernatural manifestation that I want you to be in Enugu. However, the man will not be different. He will just be in Enugu. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Yeah, he won't be different. Why? Because what took him to Port Harcourt is what God wants to address. If God addressed it, there are enough guiding things in life to move him to Enugu where he's supposed to be. Do you get the principle? That is, why is he in Port Harcourt? If you could correct that in his life, that fellow will wake up one day, enter a vehicle, and relocate himself to Enugu. There will be things. That's what the Lord does. So that's why many times, I think it was the last Tuesday I was saying this also, that he doesn't want to add sin to sin. So he doesn't just say, okay, you get up and go over to Enugu when you're in Port Harcourt, when he wants it to be. Please, you understand? I'm just speaking Enugu and Port Harcourt arbitrarily, okay? And if it applies to your situation, God bless you. But what I'm saying is that I'm not thinking specifically about anything in that area. But what took the fellow there is what God wants to address. There are enough things around. If you will follow God, learn and make choices with his will. Now, when I say will now, there are different aspects of the will of God. One of the things about the will of God is his precepts you are operating by. I hope you're getting my point. Okay, for example, you said this is the will of God concerning you, your sanctification. That's the will. So it's not always, should I marry Mr. A or marry Mr. B? No, that's part of it, but that's not the only thing. So the reasoning in that fellow's heart, if it's in alignment with the will of God, God will give enough circumstances to make that fellow choose to go to Enugu instead of staying in that Port Harcourt. I hope you're getting my point. Usually there is a voice you are listening to that pulls you to a particular place. That's one thing you have to bear in mind. That voice is what the Lord is addressing. The kind of voice that has control over your life. See, if God doesn't address that and he moves you supernaturally, maybe you wake up one day, and last night you fell asleep in Port Harcourt. This morning you woke up in Okunan. Do you know that kind of thing? You are already in Enugu. He hasn't changed you. That voice that moved you to the wrong place in the first place will move you again. Why? You have ears tuned to a wrong frequency from which you are hearing strange leadings. So what does the Lord want to do? He wants to train you through different ways, sometimes through difficult situations, sometimes through blessings, all of them with instruction going on until your ears are tuned appropriately. Let me say it again. It is not spirituality that you're always saying, God told me, God told me, God told me. God told me that people tell you a lot of times. It's not spirituality. It's not spirituality. The more you grow as a believer, all right, the more God wants to told me. You know that told me. You understand? I've seen people who just interject everything. They say, God, I say, oh boy, relax now. God is maturing you. He's developing you. He wants you to become somebody that can reason. Most of the times, you will walk yourself into, that is, by your conscious reasoning, looking at the circumstances, you will discover the will of God. Please, I'm saying it again. What God is doing in our lives is making us into somebody, a kind of person. That's what he's doing. He's training. The reason why he's seated here today is because God is using these words as coming forth. His spirit is riding upon it to turn you from what you used to be into a different level of what he wants you to be. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes,
sir. Now, many times when he will have accomplished that, some of the things we're asking you to do, you will find that they've been done. They are prayer points generated by unbelief. God cannot meet answer the prayer point because he'll be cooperating by that with your unbelief. Do you follow my point? Do you know it is possible? For example, you say to the Lord, this my bank account is low. Father God, feel it. Do you know he can feel it? He can just, he will tap two people, say, feel that thing. From a balance of 2,650 naira, it will go up to 265 million. In less than a week. You know, it's not hard. But do you know one of the reasons why everyone's like it? So you say, okay, come. Why do you want to feel it? So I can give you something to put your faith in. Do you get my point? Well, what is the problem? Are you hungry? No. It takes over your life for the last 1 year. That bank balance never rose beyond a modest amount. But in fact, you're adding weight. Everybody in your household is adding weight. You are shining. People are looking at you and saying, these are the people who are enjoying in this country. You're not owing anything. You're not owing anybody. You're really comfortable. The house you're living in is not yours, but you are the best tenant that landlord has. We enter your house, always nice and clean. But that bank balance, it does not go up. When you need 100,000, God has sent it. Just as you're thinking about spending it, the money has entered different things, and you've solved all the problems. So God now says, all right, so what is this prayer point about? You say, everybody get treasure on this earth, we're my own. So he says, this is the problem. I give you a number of words. One of them is, your life does not consist in the abundance of these things that you might possess. I told you, don't lay up treasure on this earth. And I said to you, if wealth increases, don't set your mind on it. See, there are so many scriptures. The Lord says, so why are we here talking about your bank balance? So he said, how much is the bank balance that you're complaining about? He said, 2006. He said, go and withdraw that one and give to the beggar down the street. Zero it. Until you lose faith in bank balances. I hope you're getting my point. Yeah, and that's what he's doing. He said, and somebody else can have that 265 million naira. In fact, which is why you are praying for it anyway. Because you saw your friend's zone. And God said, with him, I have no problem. If I make his bank balance $50 million, he would not notice. It won't move him. It won't shake him. I've worked enough on him. That's the kind of person. But you, if that thing crossed 2.5, you will start taking the name of the Lord in vain. Because they leave that thing, you know. And that's okay. Let me work on myself so I will not take the name of the Lord in vain in case the money hits 2.5 million. God said, forget it. Whether you will or not, I'm not increasing it. That I will leave. Look, this conversation, let's not have it again. Your lot in life, that this balance not going to increase. But his all will be fulfilled. He will make all grace abound towards you. You have all sufficiency in all things, and you will abound to every good work. That there are times money will hit you. As money is hitting your hand like this, they will make a call in church for something. That balance is about to increase. If at a point in time, once balance goes up, you know that somebody is coming for it. You will try to turn off your phone, they will call your wife. Maybe one day, you say, finally, 3.5 million in the account. You say, they will soon come. So you put off your phone. The next, as you are lying there, your wife just walking. Honey, what is it? Your mother is on the line. She says she has been trying to reach you. You forgot to tell your wife that you are not at home. I say, and I've been calling you since. You say, sorry, mommy. What is it? The man that's supposed to repair the house, the family house, is here now. He said, once you can get 3 million now, the whole thing will finish in 1 week. And God will say, hey, don't say that you're not the only son in this family. Because I send the money to you for that reason. And you know, there are things you will just know. God will say, transfer the money. You will transfer like this. Your balance is back to it's back to your level in life. You know, you can, no, God said, I will never give you money to take away your faith. Lie. But there will be nothing you will not be able to achieve. Anything. Look, if your children are going to go to school, that's very expensive. You always have money to pay. It does that to people. So what I'm saying is that, so sometimes, we have prayer points that he's not going to answer. Not for lack of power and for your own lack of faith. Because God says, why would I cooperate with unbelief? Why would I cooperate with unbelief? That these prayer points, they are based on lack of trust. You get what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So see, what God is doing most importantly in our lives is making us into something. Don't ever forget that. If you're in a situation of abundance, make sure you learn. I said something, was it on Saturday? let me be honest with you. As a real believer, a true disciple of Christ, whether you like it or not, you get to a point, like Paul, you will say, I've become independent of circumstances. You know what I say? See, I know you don't think so. I know many who listen to you say, Pastor, don't worry. When I have my, I won't be like this again. Because don't worry. You will get to a point where you will look at your life at that point, and your life before, you don't know which one is better. And this one, you are 5,000 times richer, if you count it cash-wise, than the other time. If you're not spiritually mature, you think this is better. I'll give you an example. This is very practical. Do you know it is possible, like maybe you are thinking that if I have this amount of money, I'll build this house, I'll go here, I'll go there. You are thinking of things like that you do. God will give you that money. And say, you see, that house I gave you is the only one you will own. That's 2 billion naira lying around. He was there, they are selling land somewhere. God said, are you a land, what do you call it? Speculator. No, there are questions you will hear. You know it's not a question. It's a warning. I don't know whether I get my point. And God will say, okay, you won't agree, so I will allow you buy land where the price is going. It's very good. And it's going to double in the next 3 years. All right? And you can see it's clear. Those who bought at 100,000, now it's 2 million. They are selling now 2 million. We know it's going to be 10 million over the next few years. You will buy, you have money, you acquire 10 plots. Okay? When you're done, 6 months after, the governor will come and put road there. And you know that your first plot is where the road started. That's on this side. The last plot is where the road ends here. And the government say compensation. They say, no, we are going to compensate at the price 8 years ago. And then you now wait for 8 years to get the compensation of 8 years ago, 16 years. You know the value of the money at that time. And let me tell you, God is so personal. At least that's been my experience. You think, is he doing this to everybody? No, you are the only one noticing. The angel that was guiding you in your disobedience, it helped you choose the governor's road to buy land on it. Somebody will not dig one plan that was drawn when Enugu was founded. How many years ago? No, it's 100 years ago, a few years ago. So how many years ago was it 100 years ago? Yeah, that was during Sullivan's time, wasn't it? Do not say, see the plan now. You are not due for compensation. Sorry, don't worry. An angel redo the plan and backdated it. You just don't know. Not this angel, they can't draw. Master surveyors, that's what they are. God taught them surveying. Town planners. They will backdate. And you know what? It's only the one you bought. You know what David said? Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But what? Now I will be. So you, after that, and they say, I'll come and buy land here. You start laughing. They wonder, why are you laughing? Sir, you don't want to buy. They wonder why you're just laughing. Anytime they bring one property investment opportunity, you start laughing. You now call the person, come. Do you know Mr. Jonathan? Yes, go and tell him. Maybe grace is upon him. Let me give my personal life as an example. When people are bringing up schemes, you know one of the reasons why I've never lost money in schemes. Whether I invest in your scheme or I don't, I will lose the money. I don't know whether I get my point. See, okay, let me put it like this. If I don't invest in your scheme, I won't get the money, right? If I do, for my sake, God will collapse it. And if I were to get money out of it, he will collect the money. So at the end of the day, it's not better to avoid all the, and just stay on my own. And you know what? For that reason, I wasn't so wise that time, but now I'm very wise. For that reason, when they start, I don't lose money. Now, I keep telling you one story of one of my friends who told me that, Banky, come and see this one. I said, what is it? He said, well, you put $5,000. He said, I put $5,000. It was dollars, though. He said, you put $5,000. He said, come and check. That last time he checked, his money has increased to $12,000. I said, eh? So he was encouraging me to go and look for $5,000. Put in the investment so my own can hopefully increase to 20,000. By that time, his own will probably like 40,000. I just told him, I said, Ogami, I said, see. I said, it's working, eh? He said, yes. I said, my name is Jonah. If I enter that boat, it's going to crumble. He said, no, now, Banky, this one is from America. He thought I was afraid of losing money. He didn't understand that God forbids me from pursuing it. I didn't check the scheme. I didn't check whether it was good or bad. That I'm sitting down in my house, You now told me how we can start making money. I am forbidden from listening to you. This is not the law for everybody. I'm telling you, bank is law. I am forbidden. So as it was, I remember where we were that day. I can take you to the very spot when he and I was talking, we were talking years ago. He said, no, this one is from America. I said, oh, what? That doesn't mean anything. I said, Bernard Madoff is from America. And he scammed the whole world. That is something $1 billion is missing and we're looking for it. I said, so let's leave that one. It's okay, I don't tell you. You know what I told him? I don't hear you. See that graph where his money was growing? The money is still on it till today. Like 8 years or so later, the money is still on it. You know why? Somebody was just behind. I found that much later, not immediately, much later, that somebody was plotting it by hand and deceiving everybody until they had collected a total of $2 billion from people all over the world. Most of it from China and Africa. And the woman who was behind it, funny enough, I still checked up on her a few days ago to see what even happened. Of course, they didn't see her. They didn't see her again. And somebody now said that he knows what happened, that she was murdered, her body dismembered and thrown overboard on a boat because of the mafia connection behind her. The mafia boss was trying to cover his tracks. Her brother, who was arrested, is still in jail in America. Or maybe he's released him now. Now, why am I telling the story? My brother just told me, see, money is coming. I said, I'm not interested. So whether I had $5,000 at that time or I don't have, I can't even remember. Well, I didn't lose it to a stupid investment. Sometimes there are people God is teaching that lesson. So we say, okay, you say I should give you a lot of money. Even if I give it to you, I would forbid you from doing anything with it. There are those who say, if I have this amount of money, I will travel all over the world. God say, wait, I'll give you the money, you will see it. But if I see you on a plane, kpene, you know the meaning of kpene? If I see you on a place, kpene, on a plane, so you'll be looking at the money like this, you cannot go anywhere. Sometimes he will keep you so busy, all right, that you will know it will be how do they speak the English? The relation of duty. If you were to leave and go somewhere. So you see people with far less money than you have, enjoying three times the amount of holiday you were dreaming of. God says, what I'm doing with your life and what I'm doing with yours is not the same thing. Are you getting my point?
Yes, sir.
Oh, I pray we learn how to walk with God and rest in Him. You know, I pray. A lot of the prayer points people have, they are Gentile prayer points. They are based on unbelief. They are not based on faith. Gentile prayer points. And I'm saying it again. The most important thing is what God is doing with us, turning us into. Please let me beg you for this. Don't compare your life with anybody's own. Don't. I've not said it in a long time, but I used to say it a lot. That the age at which Joseph entered the palace and was established for the rest of his life there, was not 30. Moses had not yet left there. So at 40, Moses just began his wilderness journey. God does some things. It even scares me thinking about it. God sometimes will leave you in a place until you are tired of waiting. It's not what you are waiting for. So that when he now comes, you tell him that I'm not going again. Yeah, he does it. He did it to Moses. An angel came to Moses one day when Moses was trying to liberate the people. See, you cannot liberate people by the arm of flesh. The angel came to Moses after things had scattered. He had killed somebody. Pharaoh was angry, wanted to put him on trial. The angel said, get up, move. True, that's exactly what happened. It's called by faith. When you see the by faith in the scripture, see, it means an instruction came from heaven, one way or the other. He heard it, obeyed it. He said, go there until I tell you. You know, that's what they told Joseph. So Moses went. He was the age of 40. So he was waiting. You know, for the first, how many of you have watched Chinese films? For the first 6 months, you know what he was doing? He was doing push-up every morning, chin-ups. See, his pectorals were heaping up like this. Say, you know what he was saying? Pharaoh, go here. I'm coming. I'll be back. Pharaoh. See, not this is wrong. No. It's what they call antitaio. Am I even calling you, Zef? Jonathan is no better than you. You know what they call agbo to feyin. You know that one? Hey, clap for antitaio. Everybody clap for her. She knows that one. What that means, all right? How many people know what they call ram? Ram, the, you know, with the horn. He said when he retreats, he didn't run away. That he went to gather momentum. It's an African proverb. So when the ram retreats, don't think he ran. He only went to gather strength. And you've seen them fight. He will charge at you. Boom! Now this is a joke. This is a small joke. I just remember. He said, during one Islamic festival like that, my friend said, now they tie one ram there. Tie the ram. Now one man lay mat down. He won't pray. Now he bend down like this. My friend said, the ram said, you won't try. He said, now you go, boom, charge him. Crack the man's skull. Now, what that really happened, I don't know. It's my friend that said, the ram said, you won't try. So, I can imagine that Moses is saying that, I didn't run. No. Now, the ram style where I did, I'm just retreating to go and get that momentum. When I come back, hey, I'm going all the way. I may be down sometime, but I won't be down always. You know the song? Oh, you don't know the song? Ah, Perez, that's when we were playing in the house yesterday. I may be down sometimes, but I won't be down always. You guys don't know these songs? I've never been a freedom fighter. So now, so first 6 months, you know, my guy was doing push-ups. He was doing his moves. Snake in monkey shadow. Do you know that one? All kind of kung fu styles. 2 years later, you don't build muscle, you don't tire. They move to jiu-jitsu. Learned how to shoot arrows. 10 years later, the guy wondered whether... You know, at the time, you start wondering, was it God that sent me here, or I sent myself? 20 years later, oh boy, don't tire. By that time, you understand, he was tired. Finally, he was beginning to get weak, not for lack of physical energy, but for lack of vision. And one day, 40 years after, so by the 30th year, he was not telling stories. You will see that in Midian. See, that time I used to have some hallucinations. I thought I was called by God to deliver his people. I'm older now and wiser. Nobody's called to deliver anybody. The man had become a philosopher. Each man has to deliver himself. That's how I was delivered out of Egypt. Then, you know, if it's like some Nigerians I know, you abuse everybody in the palace of Pharaoh. There's nothing in that palace. Nothing there. I've been there before. Rubbish palace. What about the Israelites who are in bondage? Those ones, bondage will kill them. Because I was there. I expected them to rally around. So now Moses can't begin to abuse the Israelites. See, people like bondage now. It's called Stockholm Syndrome. Leave them. One day, maybe they wake up, will abuse the Israelites Monday after a night out of anger and frustration. By that time, you know, he's 75. And I say, maybe God is. What God? God is there. Each person has to hold God by himself. Maybe God called. No, God called you to take care of yourself in this life. So, see, don't ever listen to a man who's frustrated when he's teaching doctrine. Everything he's telling you is a lie. I know what I'm telling you. A frustrated man must not preach doctrine. I've seen them before. Pastors will come to church. They will abuse everybody, quote scripture. There's one man, I won't mention his name. Eh? One day he gave 10 scriptures on why you can kill. He said, 10 scriptures on killing people. I felt so sorry. I said, man, it's like that. if your village is in Jos. Yeah, that's how it is. If your village is in Kaduna, it's like that. You start preaching strange doctrines. That's it. It's frustration. So one day, at the age of 80, God now came and called Moses. Moses was going. Let me be honest with you. If it's before, maybe an angel will have just appeared to Moses. The angels have appeared this way. Moses carried a commot. They appeared this way. Moses did not notice. You know what? The man said, I'm not anything that has to do with Egypt. Don't call my name. Don't call my name. So that day God said, okay, set one bush on fire. So bush was burning. Okay, bush was burning. He passed. Then looked again. The bush is still burning. They noticed that the leaves were not being consumed. So the Bible said, go and read your scriptures. When he turned around to look and investigated, God said, got ya. Now you can't run. You must hear what I have to say. It's from the midst of the burnished bush. God now called to him. Moses. Now, if I say what I'm telling you, it may sound like a joke, but it really happened. It really happened. I wasn't there, but I can tell you how it happened. How do I know? After that, I see argument. Point, I'm not going. He used every argument available. Who will I say sent me? Okay, how will I prove I met the person that sent me? After that was settled, I can't talk. I've lost the eloquence that I used to have when I was young. Tired of talking. At that point in time, today, no, when you read scripture sometimes, this is look like it's 2 minutes. That day, I told that I know what happened. All right? It was a long time. God got frustrated. So finally, he got angry and appointed Aaron to follow him. Okay, you can't talk. You won't have to talk. Whisper if you have to whisper to Aaron. At that point, Aaron showed up. Moses was the most reluctant. See, when you say Moses was meek, I'm not changing scripture. But I can tell you Moses was reluctant. His meekness came from, look, this job, I don't need that. That this will work. If you gave him beef, you know, are you the only one God called? He said, God bless you. I always knew I was not the only one. You, come on. The man was willing to give it to anybody that was interested. If he said God called you, he said, good, come and go. One day he prayed for people, and some people were prophesying. They came, sir, they are prophesying. He said, I wish everybody would be a prophet. Then they will save me all this headache. The fellow waited for God until he was tired. Sometimes God does it to us. God, you see, there's one of the tricks I think Christians should learn. If there's anything is an issue that's bothering you in life, if I will teach it, I was hoping to teach it last Saturday, but the Holy Spirit didn't allow that. So maybe we'll get there one day. Well, maybe we're there now. The book of Philippians. Rejoice is there. In this I rejoice. All those, it's all over the place. You have to find something in life that gives you joy, that takes your mind away from the thing that gives you stress. Do you follow my point? Go and practice being joyful. Don't let things that bother, things that trouble people, if they are bothering your mind, find something else. I was talking to one of our minister's sisters the other day. She was missing to one of our sisters also, who's very ill. She said something and made her laugh. She said, I bet this is the first time you are laughing in a long time. That one I have to admit, it's true. And with this amount of distress, I can't laugh. So I'm sorry, you have to find the reason to laugh. You have to. Find something to celebrate. You know, David said, bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless his holy name. Do not forget his benefits. That is, trouble has a way of making you forget benefits. So look for benefits. Sit on the benefits. Carnegie told us in his stories, he was a young man, a teenager, very sick from birth. In fact, the doctors didn't expect him to live. That's how he suffered through his childhood. He said, I never ran like every other child. He couldn't. He never got excited. And this one that you see children jumping up and down in the house, he couldn't dare it. If he did, he would faint. His heart wasn't beating right. When he was like 15, 16, he became totally paralyzed. Make a long story short, he was angry and bitter and everything, one experience after the other. Finally, he gave his life to Christ on that deathbed. After he had a vision of going to hell twice. So next time, now he knew he was going to heaven. I think even, let me not mix the stories up. But after that, he didn't get well immediately after. He got well maybe a year later or so. But every day, he said, I used to praise myself to sleep. That is, I will praise God till I fall asleep. That I rejoice that no matter how bad life has been, at least now I know I'm not going to hell. That I will die here, I will go to heaven. They said he could die anytime. So he always tried to keep joy on his face so that if I were to die, they would know I died happy. Do you know the Bible says, with joy, you would draw water from the well of salvation. It was in the midst of that attitude that the Holy Spirit finally was able to get across to him and said to him, you know you don't have to die. I don't have to. So what do I do to stay alive? So the answer is in the book. So he took his Bible and reasoned that, well, there's old, there's new. Maybe it's better to start from the new. So started reading from Matthew. Reading the New Testament. So he read all the way to Mark chapter 11. It took him a long time. He got to the book of Mark chapter 11. When Jesus said, if you have anything you ask the Father, believe that you have received. You understand? And then it will be granted you. That was where he got stuck. Not for a day, not for 2 days, for weeks. Pastors came to help him. They discouraged him. One came, prayed for him. Don't worry, my boy. It will soon be over. Yeah. That was the prayer they were praying for him. And he said, normally he didn't used to hear well. All right? Because of all these troubles. He said, but that day he heard clearly as the man went out to pray for his mother, his grandmother, asking God to comfort them for the child they're about to lose. He felt like shouting, I haven't died yet. I can hear that. I heard that. He said, then he sank again. He went down low, became sad. After a long time, now it's been a while since I read the story, then he recovered himself and continued reading. And all he asked that pastor to come and do was to ask, is that scripture true? Did Jesus say it like that? Or I'm misreading it? That's what he wanted them to say. They didn't even let him talk. First one did not come. He said, thank God he did not come. The second one didn't come. He said, years later, I said, thank God he didn't come. The third one that finally agreed to come came to pray for him. He said, just be patient, my boy. It will soon be all over. That's what the man said. And he left and went to pray for his mother and his grandmother that they might be comforted. He wished he did not call them because they threw darkness all over him. Later on, of course, he got himself again and began to read the scriptures. And finally believed that the word was true. And then one day, he got up. Somebody couldn't walk. It's a long story. I don't want to sit on the story. He believed that he had received his healing. So he forced himself to get up. He said he didn't have any feeling in the lower part of his body. But that day, as his legs hit the floor, he felt pain everywhere. He said, if you've not had any feeling for a long time, no matter what the pain is, it's sheer pleasure. So at least I'm feeling something. That day he got up, walked around. When he stepped out to go and join the family for dinner, I think that day, his grandfather looked and said, is Lazarus raised? I hope you're following what I'm saying.
Yes, sir.
Until he got himself out of that dark place through sheer rejoicing. Just looking for something to thank God for. That he just woke up in the morning,
that thing that's bothering you, remove your face from it. Focus it on something else. And be giving the Lord thanks for that. The only thing he could think of is that, I'm not going to go to hell. I can't. I'm dying. I know I'm going to die. I don't have a problem with dying. But at least I won't go to hell. I hope you're getting my point. Back to Moses. Moses was on a spot for a long time. It appeared as if God forgot him. I was talking to one brother. You see, sometimes as if God posted you somewhere, then he will now go on holiday and sit on the beach, you know, eating suya, drinking something, and picking his teeth. And you're looking from far like, excuse me, are you the one that said I should wait here? And he'll look at you as if he didn't notice you're talking to him. That brother, that's what he told me that time when I was talking with him. He said, God will treat you in such a manner as if he forgot you. You know, I've given you one tip. Another tip is that find something small to keep yourself occupied and keep yourself busy. Abraham waited for Isaac for how many years? 25. In that process, he became very rich. He became very successful. He built a massive household. He was very busy. He had something he was doing. He had problems to solve daily to give him joy. He was taking care of strangers. There's a woman I met, one of our local brethren. She had her first child naturally when she was... So I can't remember. How old was she? Was it 52? Not 58. One of those odd age, years. No, she explained that when she was giving the testimony, that was a few conventions ago, about four conventions now. If you see her and that her daughter, you would think she's the grandmother. And you know how she had the child? Completely naturally. She didn't know she was pregnant. But guess what? That's her first natural child. But she was her, was it 12th child? The first natural, either 12th or 14th. She was already a grandmother. You get what I'm saying? She just kept herself busy. Any child she found, she picked and took care of. She was in her 50s, if I remember. One Sunday, she went to see the doctor. What is going on? Ah, doctor said, oh, madam. It is unto thee as it is to young women. Tell me the truth. I can show you guys the picture after. Because I took a picture that day. When she's been that testimony, my man of God, who's already very strong, kakaraka, tears were coming down from his eyes. Pastor Courage. That guy is a hard man. The woman said, she just told her, said, hey, I beg. I have work to do. Let me continue doing my work. Very important as believers. When God seems to have left us somewhere, look around, there's something else he gave you to do. When it seems as if he has forgotten you where he kept you, there is something he gave you to do. When he kept Adam and Eve in the garden, he gave them something to do. He said, guard it and what? Keep it. Take care of this garden. You're not the one that built it. I built it. I placed you there. So I have to give you something to do. Guard it and keep it. Since I was in university, I believe that God placed his hand upon me and said I should go into ministry. How will he go? It's what I did not know. I didn't get good guidance. I won't say I did. Those days, not many of our seniors were going into ministry like that. And I was in a fellowship that it wasn't too common. But it was okay, because God knew what he was doing. So I felt that, okay, after NYC, maybe. But during NYC, I had a dream. I've not forgotten the dream till tomorrow. It played out over like 8 years. What the dream said in effect is that, in summary, part of the interpretation is looking back. Because at this ministry, you won't enter it quickly. I hope you're getting me. No. You will find every door around closed. Then I was in Lagos. There was a church I was attending. So I just one day, I realized I was working 2 weekends. There's a reason. I don't want to go into it. It was not planned. That was the only work I had before. I worked only at night and 2 weekends. So I went to church during the week. Just at 2 Sundays, I will be at work. But during the week, I will go to church. From church, I go to work.
My shift used to start at night, 8 p.m. So I go to church by 5. Finish church and then go to work. Good enough, the church was not too far from where I was working. Then 2 weekends, I will be at work. So I want to go on Sunday. So my friend will come after church. He will come and meet me there. We'll hang out. Later on, I then started working in the teaching hospital during the day. All right? So the church I could go during the week was now taken. So I found that I was could only go to church 2 Sundays in a month. So one day I talked to myself that this is not right. That during the week was hard. Occasionally I would go. But 2 Sundays in a month, during the week, sometimes I said this wasn't good. That you're supposed to be a waiting minister. At least go and get involved in church activity. So I resigned the job. And that was where I was getting most of my income from. It was giving me at least 2/3 of what I was earning. So it cut my income down by more than 60% so that I could go to church. Except that the first Sunday I went to that church, I've been going to this church for over a year. Then the first Sunday I went there, after I resigned my job, I said, my plan was I would go to church. I had friends who were in the church active. I would discuss with them, then go and join one of the departments and start working. At least that way we'll get involved in ministry. I had friends who were working in the church. If I still have one of my guys from school, I still see him. He's a very high-ranking guy in the church. I mean, a church where he has attended for over 30 years, you can imagine. So that Sunday, I entered church with the sole purpose of joining the ministry. Before, I was attending. But now, I came with the sole purpose of joining. I had never had that experience before then, and I've not had it since then. As soon as I sat down, I didn't see anybody. I didn't hear any voice, except that I felt them. Somebody said, who's them? I don't know. All I know is that I felt them. They came, placed a spiritual plastic bag over my face, and I couldn't breathe. There's only one problem. Don't forget, some of you don't know, I'm not just a preacher. Naturally, I have a bachelor's in medicine and surgery, and I'm a specialist. Yeah, I know you don't believe me. When you hear me talk, you don't believe me. Like, this guy is not a doctor. He's not. I actually am one. If you want, I'll show you my certificate. I will tell my classmates, all of them testify that they know me. For those of you who don't believe. So, what I'm telling you that is that I felt like a man that was drowning, that was choking, that was going out of breath. That's how I felt. So, what will I do? I tested my breath. I'll blow into my hand, cover my nose, do everything that I know to do. While sitting, I was in the third row thereabout, in a very big church. I was in the third row thereabout, so very close to the front. I couldn't create a scene. If I was at the back, I would have run. But I was in front. Service was going on. I can't remember whether I participated in the singing, praying. The pastor was preaching. Jesus is my Lord, and I was dying. Except that I wasn't dead. Except that I physically wasn't dying. So I endured that service. My God, I endured it. As soon as they said, let us share the grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, be it now forevermore. All right, brethren, cheer up. See you next service. I got up and ran. Literally, and I don't mean I literally, of course, not 100 meters type, because it was a busy church, but I hurried out of the place as soon as I could. As soon as I got outside, the boys left me alone. Who are they? I don't know. I suspect who they were, all right? I always say there were 2 angels. I didn't see anybody, but it keeps coming to my head there were 2. I must be a very powerful guy. One guy couldn't hold me. Maybe one guy held my hand. You know, spiritual, you know the way it is. One guy wrapped my hand like this. You can't move your hand. The other one, you'll put back on my head. And as soon as I left that day, I just felt in my spirit, don't let me see you here again. I used to go to church before. I never came back. Years later, I understood why God said, don't let me see you there again. Years later, I understood. What happened was, like Moses, I was eager, pushing things. I said, Come on, you're a pastor now. You're maybe not pastor the way people say, but you're a preacher. You're a teacher of the word. Get involved. Get involved. So from then, I began to hop from one church to the other, looking for church to go. Until finally, I've met the pastor whose church I attended till I finally left Lagos. And I came to Enugu. And as soon as I got to Enugu, I kicked off what I do till today. Kingdom Word Ministries, started teaching on that platform. I'm telling the stories because sometimes waiting for God can be very hard. Patience to wait is not easy. Sometimes out of being responsible, you feel like you're wasting time. I remember the pastor of the church I attended immediately after I left school. I used to come visit him, work with him, help him out. So he asked me what I was doing concerning ministry. I told him I was preparing. And he said, if people like you are preparing, then who will do the work? Yeah, because I worked with him for about a year. And that's the story I tell once in a while of how the Bible study, I came back later, they had bound it. Their Bible study, say I wrote most of the scripts inside there. And I couldn't believe it when I would go through the scripts. I mean, I wrote this. I used to go once in a while, go help him out. When I take my leave, I go and stay with him. So he was surprised, you're not doing anything. But I had my instructions. Don't worry about how I got instructions. But it started from the dream I had when I was serving. And that, now the dream didn't tell me what to do. It helped me understand things I find myself doing. I hope you get my point. More like doing nothing. Because literally in the dream, everywhere I turned, that's exactly how it happened. I was going down the road. Everywhere I turned, I was trying to get off that path and get into something. And every door I tried was locked. And I would turn this way to be locked. I would turn that way to be locked. And the road was very long. In practical terms, that road turned out to be 8 years. It was 8 years. It was 8 years. And the dream, I finally took a left turn at the point and saw a small group of people waiting for me. It's that kind of thing that happened when I came to Enugu. I hope you're getting my point. So waiting, Moses waited until he was frustrated with waiting. Until he told God, I know they do it again. Because let's go, he said too late. I'm no longer interested. Sometimes for some people, God takes you to that point because that's the only time he can help. You're too strong. You know, some people, they are not strong. So God never has any problem with them. No contention. Say, go like this, they will go. Anything God puts on their mouth, they will say. But some people, they are orators by nature. Because I have to stop him talking. He has to be frustrated with talking. How do you do that? I say, 40 years. One of the things I don't like about, sorry, Lord, not like I don't like this about you, just that some things that it doesn't look nice to an average person. Is how God doesn't even hurry. And you will see later, that was one problem Saul had with God. God doesn't even hurry in the face of disaster. He said, they are here. You know what God will say? I'm coming. He said, Lord, but the enemies are here. He said, what are they looking for? He said, Lord, they are banging on the gate. Open the door for them now. You're like, dear Lord. I mean, do you know, when Samuel was given, may you know the Lord enough to be calm, no matter the pressure. If you go and check it, that's one major difference between Samuel and Saul. David even learned to be calm a bit, but Samuel was master calm. Samuel was talking to Israel, and because they gathered to listen to Samuel, the Philistines went and gathered, thinking they are preparing for war. Saul of them began to panic. Samuel said, I'm giving a speech here. They said, sir, but they are gathering. He said, look, guys, let me finish what I'm doing. I can't be preaching and one enemy will be disturbing me. The guy stayed there, finished his talk. The Philistines gathered. Then he asked the Lord to strike them. That's what he did. So God had to bring thunder. But Samuel, he'll finish what he wants to do. He'll finish it. He saw that we'll get under tension. Things like, the one part of Saul I didn't understand. He called the priest. They wanted to consult God. Then the Philistines gathered. I told the priest, don't bother again. You don't get the point. He called the priest, bring the effort. What should we do? As the priest was still doing his incantations and talking, singing praise, oh thou that exalted in heaven, Father God, we're about to...
He said, wait, they are coming. Forget. Let's go and fight. That's one part of God that sometimes is hard to understand. See, if we just try to hurry like us small, that's what you'll be thinking. God, you say hurry now. All my mates have done this. You say try hurry. Oh, Father God, may we all know you enough to relax.
Amen.
I'm just thinking, you know why I said that? So I'm thinking of Mary and Martha. Lazarus was sick. And of course, you know, if Jesus eats in your house, forget it. No sicknesses. In fact, you just give the person food in the plate that Jesus used last. They gave that one to Lazarus. The guy became unconscious. So they sent for Jesus. Your friend is sick. So those ones, Jesus said, matter of life and death. Let's go. Jesus said, we cannot interrupt this crusade because one person is sick. He said, don't worry, this sickness is not unto death. Oh, sir, he's gasping for breath. You said this sickness is not unto death. Those who did not gasp for breath, they died. He waited 2 extra days, completing his program. He was supposed to preach like 6 days. He had done 4 days. He preached the 2 balanced days. He now said, let's go to Bethany. They said, why? That's why they wanted to kill you. Say, our friend Lazarus is sleeping. Peter said, oh, well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. If he's sleeping, it means he's about to... Maybe they didn't used to go into coma in the days of Peter. Somebody's in coma. We appear as if he's sleeping too. Let's make a long story short. 4 days after the man had died was when Jesus got there. You know, I say it all the time, God can change the past. He changes the past. What he just did was to redo it so that those 4 days did not count. What I'm saying is that to wait for him, I'm not saying it's easy. No, I'm not saying so. But you know, waiting, we must. If you don't wait for him, he will say you've kindled your own fire. That's what he calls it. And if you do, he said, this you will have of my hand. At the end of the day, you will lie down in torment. Every time God says wait, he has something for you to do. His waiting is never a matter of idleness. He wants you busy on something. That's how you wait for God without trouble. Be busy on something else. Like what? It could be study of the scriptures. As a minister, I can tell you, when you become very busy, you will go for 2 weeks, you won't read your Bible, and you won't know. No, you will not know. And you won't realize it, though, because every time you enter the pulpit, praise the Lord, I'm open to the book of Genesis chapter 1. That one does not count. What did I say? It doesn't count. It doesn't count. The one that counts is the one you wake up at night and read. The one you wait for everybody to leave the house, or you leave the house, go to one secluded area. Sometimes a literal physical mountain, sometimes one small guest room that you rented, or a room, the back of your house, or just go to Opera Square, you know, or that garden in the afternoon when everybody has gone to work, all the joggers have gone. You now bring out your Bible, and it's 2 hours. And you say these 2 hours are dedicated to reading the scriptures and confessing the word of God. When you're a busy minister, trust me, a whole month can pass. I'm not abusing anybody. Did I abuse anybody? Mm-hmm. See, a lot of these pastors, you see their posters. The more you see their face, the less Bible they are reading. Did you hear what I said? The more they see your face, the less we know you are reading your Bible. Do you know recently, I saw a clip on Pastor Chisom's status. She now sent it to me. As an old man, they interviewed Billy Graham. He said, after all these years, if we were to do this again, what would you do differently? Good enough. I'd heard Mike Murdoch say it long ago. That if you say you won't do anything differently when they ask you that kind of question, it's obvious you have learned nothing over the years. Say, it's not possible that you will pass through there and you say you won't do anything differently. Say, you must have learned something. What did Billy Graham say he learned? What will you do differently? He said, I will take less speaking engagements. Shock, 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 shock. A preacher, an evangelist, well, I call him an apostle, you will preach less. Ah, so they said, less preaching engagements, speaking engagements? He said, yes. So you won't speak in all those stadiums. You know Billy Graham, he had an anointing for packing out stadia. If he comes to Okwara, what's the name of our stadium? Nnamdi Azikiwe Stadium. Every seat will be taken. People will sit on the grass. It's his anointing. If he goes to China, they will fill the stadium. If he goes to South Korea, if he goes to North Korea, they will fill the stadium. There's no way he will go, you will not fill the arena. It's grace. And he didn't use to advertise miracles. Because none happened in his meetings. The only thing he did was to tell you about Jesus and tell you you are going to hell if you don't receive him. And people used to receive Christ massively in his crusades. Massively. He changed lives. If I remember well, I think that's where Peter Daniels said his life got changed. Peter Daniels, the Australian. So he said, we'll take less speaking engagements. So they said, those stadia. He said, no, I'll go to the stadia. He says, all those conferences, I will not go. So he used to get a lot of invitations to conferences in Europe and the United States. So he looks back now, said they were a waste of his time. Listen, time he was supposed to use in meditating and telling God how good he is. Say, Holy Spirit, they took too much time from him. He couldn't communicate with the Lord. I mean, the preaching, should I use the word industry? And I can assure you, especially young preachers, no, God gave me a blessing long ago. God gave me a blessing long ago. I don't believe in jumping up and down. I don't. You know, a lot of preachers like, invitation here, invitation there. Oh, Banky has never been like that. In fact, if we don't have a good personal relationship, and you invite me to go and preach some places, I'm not angry with you. It's your time I'm angry with. You give me 45 minutes to come and speak. Now, please, what I want to say, no criticism intended. But sometimes, I saw a poster today, one church, they are doing one conference. And I tried to count the number of speakers in that conference. Surely I pray to God, please don't invite me to this kind of conference. Because, you know, sometimes it's hard to say no. I say, Lord, please, one day, some people, I think the Anglicans or one of the Orthodox churches, long ago, they invited me for a program. So we're talking to Tall Reverend. So the poster they had already prepared. When Reverend saw the number of persons, he said, Pastor Bang is not coming. They said, why? He said he's not going to come. Meanwhile, they had sent him those faces to show the caliber of meeting that I'm participating in. The guy just looked and said, I don't miss him. Said, the man is not going to come. And my own is simple. I calculate the number of days you have, everything, this number of people. So all of us just come and shout, praise God, praise God, praise God. The time is over. So finally they say, why now? He said, look, pastor wouldn't like this. He won't have time to. The next time I explained, no, this is our archbishop. This is our bishop. He's not going to call. Actually, he's not going to call. Oh, meanwhile. They will not say, okay, actually, this is the only other person they are expecting. My own logic was that, what time do I have to speak to you people? No, God help me with that. So a lot of young preachers, I'm telling you young preachers, jumping up and down. Every invitation you collect, you junketing here and there. Some think it is open door. There are different kinds of doors open, you understand? There's a door to this hall, is open. A door to a trap is also open. When you don't enter, chakam, it has locked to inside. Are you getting my point? Don't walk through every open door. Know the kind, before you start, it's called wisdom for salvation. Know the kind of door that belongs to you. Billy Graham said he regrets all the times he spent traveling, that it took less time from him. Sorry, it gave him less time to minister to the Lord. Let me add my, I can't remember him using these words, and studying and meditating on scriptures. So sometimes the young preacher who's waiting for open doors, God said, it's time to read your Bible.
Remember I said, when you're waiting, there's always a job he gives you. I remember those days. God has been in my life for a long time. Sometimes I'll tell my wife, I say, you know, God has been working on my matter for a long time. Very long time. After that NYC, I was telling you about, not only did I not have ministry work to do, I didn't even have secular job to do. Yeah, God made sure of that. He said, I'll give you food. I'll make sure you have no work to do. The teaching hospital where I applied for residency, everybody went on strike, so they closed. Every clinic where I asked to work in Lagos, they will ask me, how long do you intend to stay with us? I said, I applied for the job in the teaching hospital there, so once they open, I would like to go. They said, I mean, you won't stay here long. I said, I can't stay long. So they said, sorry, we can't employ you. That's how this young man idled for a long time. Until my friend used to yap me, say, the only jobless doctor in Nigeria. That was his greeting. He said, Black, I hear you are the only jobless doctor in this country. Except that in that 1 year, it has not been repeated since till now. I listened. Bishop David Oyedepo alone, I estimated that I listened to him for over 500 hours in 8 months. Over 500 hours. And he was not the only person I listened to. I listened to Kenneth Hagin and some other ministers. But Bishop alone, over 500 hours in 8 months. There was no day I didn't listen to messages for 2 hours. Which kind of day is that one? Miles Morrow came shortly after that. I'll listen to Miles Morrow. Not only did I listen to those messages, later when I got that evening job, I'll tell you guys about it. During the day, all I did was listen to messages. When I didn't have a patient in the hospital where I was working, I listened to messages. I've not counted the books that I read, though. Just the time I spent listening to messages. I was always listening to something. I still remember I was staying with my cousin, who was like an auntie, when they said there was fuel scarcity, that she would drive people to go and queue for fuel. So I drove the small hatchback Corolla. I sat in the car while the guys took jerry cans to go and see whether they could get fuel for the household. And I listened to Wonders of Faith 1, Wonders of Faith 2 by Bishop David Oyedepo, inside the hot sun. A car parked not under a shade. I wound down, put the tape in, closed my eyes and listened. You couldn't catch me without the tapes in my hand. That what happened? It wasn't possible. I look back and I wouldn't extend that period. Yeah, I didn't have money. I didn't have work. But at least I had food. I had a little bit. I was helping the household where I was staying. I was driving up and down. My auntie, I was staying with, under my cousin. As God will have it, the driver left. And I could drive. So I became the driver. I was the only driver that I knew in Nigeria that had the bachelor's of medicine and the bachelor's of surgery. Post NYSC. I didn't know any other driver. I drove around Lagos, my God. I still remember one night, we were at home. So she called me and said, please, can you take me somewhere? I said, okay, no problem. So I wore my shirt. So I went in. No, so when I came out of the room, I had a pack of tapes in my hand. She said, don't you ever go anywhere without these cassettes? I said, auntie, it's the only reason I take you anywhere. That was the answer I gave her. It's a relative, literal cousin, so... Talking to her wasn't difficult. I said, auntie, it's the only reason why I take you anywhere. I don't have my tapes. You don't have a driver. Because I said, look, you go out to do your business. You go out to see people. I sat in the car. I said, remember once, we drove to one of these highbrow areas. It was in a Koi or via one of those places where there were a lot of embassies. So I parked. He said, please, I can arrange. Come and sit inside here. I wait. I said, no, don't worry, I'll stay inside the car. You stay inside the car? Yeah, it's fine by me. You know why? That's where the tape player was. If I went and sat in one air-conditioned reception, I would be looking up like this. So I stayed inside the car park, put my tape in. I never was in a hurry. If you like, stay where you're doing business for 4 hours. I had enough tapes to carry 4 hours. That was not a problem. So physically, friends of mine laughed at me. People observed the fact that I wasn't doing anything. At the point in time, my mom even said, look, I should come over, come down to this side. They are employing doctors. I said, mommy, I'm waiting for this teaching hospital to open. Then I'll start work there. You know, the day, I still say once in a while, I don't know whether the Lord was pleased with it or I became restless. The day I went to the teaching hospital and asked them, When I will resume work, and they said they did not know that the strike is still on. That day I go back home. I told the Lord, I need to get a job now. And I'm kind of tired. The next day, one of our brothers, his name is Augustine. I was in the house, we lived upstairs. They said, somebody looking for you. So I came, I said, Rustin, please come up. He said, no, I'm in a hurry. Take this address down. I still remember it's in my head. Number 25, so-and-so place. Told me where it was. So I asked for them. They need a doctor. Tell them I sent you. I walked in there. They didn't ask for, where's your certificate? Where do you train? He said, this person sent me. When do you resume work? And God will have it. They are the ones that scheduled me to work only nights. They have somebody working for them during the day. They just need somebody to cover the night period. If you are sitting down today listening to me, if you are following this by a podcast, you are listening to this on one recorded device, that was when certain critical parts of the foundation was laid. I was talking with one brother on Sunday, that 2 days ago. We were talking about this show of, should people go abroad or not, and all of that. I said, see, there are different things God gave people life for. I think I suspect I've found mine. But one of the things I say all the time is that I have a bit of fear that we waste what God labored to prepare because we're looking for greener pastures. No. Once in a while, I remember those days. And I just say, Banky, no, you can't do this. It's not as if I'm tempted. I just say that when people say this, if you go here, I say, you don't understand. This life is not haphazard. It's not haphazard. Somebody's controlling things. He has ordained, he has directed. This is where I want you to be. This is what I want you to do. Progress is not measured by the number of houses you've built. Progress is not measured by the amount of money in your bank account. Progress is not measured by your earthly trappings, success that people call. It's not even measured by the size of your ministry. It's measured by, is this what the Lord asked you to do or not? Are you doing it? Are you faithful in doing it? That's how they measure these things. Because in his planning, when he's planning, his strategy is not our strategy. Go and read your scriptures. You see, the Bible says that the Lord sent them out 2 by 2 into every town and village he intended to come to. Do you hear what I said? He places people in places where he intends to visit. Many times, when it's time to come there, there's nobody keeping the place for him. They've gone. So Paul will write that Demas had departed from me. He said he sent them 2 by 2 in. Let's just check, just so we get the reference. I think it's Luke chapter 10. From verse 1. Now after this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them in pairs. That's the modern translation. Sent them in pairs ahead of him to every city and place. Yeah, that's what he said. To every city and place where he himself was going to come. Did you notice that? If you use the New Living Translation, he sent them ahead in pairs to all the towns and places he plans to visit. What does that mean? Anywhere God wants to visit, he sends people ahead. Do you get my point? So what you need to ask is this where I've been sent ahead to? Your staying there is a prerequisite for the visitation of the Lord. Do you get it? Except that we think that we are staying there if the place is sweet and beautiful, if the place is nice and enjoyable, if our friends will approve, if our family will approve, if money will be good. No. We already said that sometimes he says, stay there until I come. When is he going to come? You know, we said it earlier. Sometimes, hey, you'll be frustrated. We don't know. We don't know when he's going to come. But you see, he just says, stay there. Stay there. It's not the place where you would like to be, but stay there. When are you going to come, Lord? I'm not going to tell you. Moses stayed for 40 years until himself was frustrated with staying. See, One thing I like about, well, should I say what I like, but a fact about, yeah, let me be like this. A fact about Christianity is that our God is very personal. I hope I get my point. You go and pray. That's what I mean. If you don't know, am I supposed to be here? Ask him simply. Father God, is this where I'm supposed to be? Am I doing what I'm supposed to do? Don't think every day, I wake up in the morning, I'm very happy with myself. No. There are days I just look. I look around and say, dear Lord, what's going on? Because part of my own fear sometimes is that, because the Bible says, not slothful in business. You have to be careful that you're not slothful in business. Because let's not say, because they say, wait here, you're not slothful in business. So sometimes, I think I've stopped planning now. I used to plan things and have ideas. I don't have ideas again. Some of this we even do now. Some of these guys, like this guy, you're sitting there wearing red. You come up with ideas. I find a lot of them are very good. This streaming idea, I fought it for years. Only COVID managed to persuade me to stream. But I thank God. I found out that now we actually have more people following us online than here physically. At least 20 times more. So there are times just so I can gist locally. I want to stop streaming. People say, oh God, if you try it, that's why you know that the internet can transport people. We'll ride across the internet and arrive there. I didn't plan that. Oh, well, how did you come with the idea of Kingdom World Radio, Seth? Who came with that idea? I don't even know. Okay, yes. When we're using Mixlr, yes. So Mixlr, so anyway, the idea was Mixlr requires us to, we couldn't keep things. They were constantly after. So I said, look, some of these guys just came up and said, why don't we just have our own? Anyway, that's how it started. And it looked like a nice idea. It's running by itself. I don't know how to run radio. Then one day, are you the one that came up with these 10-minute messages, Pastor Banking? 10. Okay, I'm the one that came up with this. Ah, you sure? Oh, praise God. At least I came up with something. I've gotten a lot of reports. Some people are very happy with it. Every day, we drop something. Every single day, we drop something. 10 minutes in the morning, 5 a.m., you hit your device. So I don't. There are times I've had ideas. How do you increase the ministry? Now I say, I beg. I pray regularly. Yeah, I do. I pray regularly. God, is this what we are supposed to be doing? It doesn't mean I don't have requests. I do. Constantly. Constantly. I'm always making requests about certain things, which I will not disclose now. But then at the end of the day, we just have to learn to wait. Waiting is not easy, but it's required. Waiting is not easy, but it's what?
Required.
It's required. It's required. And the greatest thing you can do for yourself in life is learn to trust God. Have frequent conversations, that is like frequent prayers. Pray about whatever bothers you, but learn to trust. Always study the scriptures. Make a habit of always hearing the word of God. Please, we live in a generation where there's so much advantage around. Devices. Please, Antichrist is not in your phone. What did I say? It's not in your tab. It's not in your computer. Antichrist has been here for a long time. When they were still writing with papyrus, there was Antichrist. When they began to print, there was still Antichrist. AI is not Antichrist. AI is just AI. Are you getting my point? Why do people think that Antichrist is always ahead of Christ? Antichrist is behind. There has to be Christ for there to be anti. Do you get my point? Technology is first about Christ before the anti guy now comes inside. What am I trying to say? Use your device. You know, before I had an archive of music and all of that I've been gathering for a long time. And then finally all this, of course, when they came with all them Spotify and Co., I didn't bother. And then one day, for certain reason, I said, let me just move to YouTube Premium. Because I got tired of adverts. And I found it was pretty inexpensive. And if I pay for the whole family, if I pay a certain amount, I can put almost everybody in my house minus one. And so I paid. So that now made me go to YouTube Music.
Do you know? Songs I did not even know where to find again. I said, you know, me and parents, we started the other day, I was jamming songs from 34 years ago. The boy, they look like this. Ah, so daddy, you did this thing before. I did, though. And jamming, you know, sounds of blackness. You understand? I suddenly found that, then messages that I thought were long lost. Then, you know, I used to brag that if you come to my message, my archive, I have over 300 direct prince messages. You know that? I don't say that anymore. You know why? Because I found out on the podcast there are 1,000. So the 300 I thought I had, now it's nothing. I don't even store things anymore. All I pay is a little bit of money every month. And I have free Wi-Fi here. Download all kinds of things. There are messages that, to get video. I remember the first time I watched Ken Hagin's video in university. We had to go and bring a box. All right? There was this big box. That they call it a color television. How many of you saw that box? They call it color television. They brought it to fellowship and brought this other briefcase called a video cassette player. Remember that briefcase? They put it there. Join wire. Check it. Press it. No, that was not Ken Hagin. Sorry, that was Benny Hinn. Ken Hagin was a tape in the room. Benny Hinn came to fellowship. All of us sat down. He was a minister in South Africa. He see power of God. My God. He. You know, now, the days of carrying VHS up and down, of course, long gone. The day of them, can I have your CD? It's long gone. Now, any video that is not on YouTube is probably not worth watching. Because even if the minister himself won't put it on YouTube, there are people that will put it on YouTube. The place where this prophet, Sadhu, where I see most of his messages, he doesn't know anything about that channel. If you go online, where you find, apart from our own channel, where you find our messages stream, live stream, every other place you find it, we don't know who runs it. They just call it, cut, drop it all over the place. So any doctrine I want to know, what did this man preach? I just go to YouTube, all right, or YouTube Music. I look for their podcast, and it's, what I'm trying to say is that there's no reason, that's the point I'm making, in this generation, not to have access to the Word of God. Some people don't have smartphones because of Antichrist. You are the Antichrist. Do you get my point? Yeah, you are the Antichrist. So, you are Antichrist. Do you get my point? Where the word is flowing from, you can't access it. What's wrong with you? I mean, if poverty is your problem, this course. Are you getting what I'm saying? Hey, brethren, no, it's because, don't Antichrist it. It's Antichrist will come through the internet. It's not true. They came to papyrus. Any technology available in your day, that's what the Antichrist will use. The most wicked man that they said this was the, Antiochus Epiphanes. You remember him? The one that made the Jews see pepper, sacrificed a pig on the altar in the temple. Many Jews believe that was the abomination that made desolate. There was no gun, self. Now sword and bow and arrow. So leave that Antichrist in now. Use technology, that's what I'm making. Sit down, study. Anything you don't know now is because you don't want to learn it. You get what I'm saying? Yes, AI can even help you. There are pastors who don't. Yesterday, I prepared sermon for tomorrow. I mean, you are not a ministry. AI is a ministry if you are doing like that. But just to say it's available. You are getting my point?
Yes,
so, as a minister, if doors are not opening, that's where I'm going. And you don't need money to go to Bible school. I just told you where the Bible school is now. Where is it? On YouTube. Thank you. It's all over the internet. It's all over the internet. There's no message anybody. In fact, you just need to curate something for yourself. You don't have to listen to everybody. There are a lot of jokers out there. Anybody whose job is to sit down and analyze other people, don't ever listen to such people. They are not helping you. All right? Just curate about 5-10 ministers who teach well. Download their videos and sit down and watch. Instead of looking for open doors that God has not opened. When God lights your light, the Bible makes it clear he's the one that will put you on a lampstand. He said, no one lights a light and puts it under a basket, but the person who lit the lamp will put it on the lampstand. God knows how to put it on the lampstand when the time comes. I know waiting can be difficult, but it must be done. It must be done. You don't get out of a place where God expects you to be because you are getting tired. Again, you can restrain yourself by praying. But if I shouldn't leave yet, please let me not leave. I said before, you are the one who disobey God, we are obeying something else. There is no just disobeying emptiness. Disobedience is usually, is always, not usually, is always obedience to another voice. Disobedience is always obedience to another voice. It can be that Satan talked, your desire spoke, your friends, oh, they can call. That's what is called Satan also. What are you doing there? Usually you are obeying somebody else sets a... See, I keep saying we Christians, we do mission. And what I mean by mission, there are times you will forego of opportunities to be materially successful so as to stay where God wants you to stay. The promotion that God gives is not measured materially. I left here and I moved here. My income went up by fivefold. It's not a sign that you made the right decision. It's not at all. In fact, more than often, it's a sign you did not. Maybe 51% of the times. You know what I'm saying? So, that's the only thing Satan has to offer. Do you get my point? So don't say, I've heard it before. When this man moved from here to, in fact, yourself can see how he has prospered. What do you call prosper? More than motor car and money. I was discussing with one brother the other day. I said, see, let me tell you this. I saw one brother once, a pastor, sorry. It was a brother, of course, the pastor. He had the church, young people, maybe a few hundreds of them, maybe 150, 200. Then door opened to go to North America. You understand? And he ran away from the church and went there. And I'm looking at, excuse me, this is 150. You know when he got seed sowing? That's 150 seeds to sow. 150 lives to sow seeds into. See, this money you are running up and down. You carry it to heaven. It won't buy you peace. So. The other day I sat in the office, we were looking at some issues. I was telling some young doctors around me. I said, see, I do a chat. I said, I'm very well to do. I'm very, very prosperous. I'm very well to do in this life. So they're looking at me, I said, Ogana, so you get money. I said, no, it's not money. I do a chat. I said, this side is positive. This side is negative. I will not tell them the negative, that is, the things that are not present in my negative channel. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, how rich are you is you don't have many negatives and you have more positives. So if you don't have many positives, but you also don't have many negatives, I said, you are rich. I said, for example, I've never had to go and bail any of my children out of police cell for smoking igbo. You don't think it's a joke? That's a very heavy one. And then we're sitting down there, all right? We're walking, all right? Of course, because we are pathologists, we're looking at this, I'm diagnosed. I said, so there was one particular case that came up. One very deadly disease in one young woman. I wrote it there. I said, that's one thing I don't have to deal with. I said, I don't take it for granted. I said, that's money I do not need. I said, don't be measuring your life on this. I have this, I have that. I said, there are also things you don't have. Do you get my point? Yes, there are negative things that you do not have. Count them. It's part of prosperity. Again, part of prosperity is like that young man I'm telling you about. You have this opportunity to bless this number of people. How can you exchange that for money? How can? Are you crazy? How can you explain that? How can? What is wrong with you? I give the testimony once in a while about the little book I wrote many years ago, Choices, Key to Destiny. Available on our website. You can download it for free. And I'm not exaggerating. Because of what I've seen people do with the book. Okay, let me not give figures. You can't give me money not to write that book. That's all I can say. Now, I wrote the book those days where I couldn't afford to go anywhere. Where I stayed in my house most of the time because going out was expensive. Not like it was too expensive. It's just expensive because I couldn't pay. You get what I'm going to say? That was when I wrote the book. It was just pressure in my soul. Let me just ventilate. So I wrote on paper. So I sent, I knew my wife that time, so I sent to her. Then later I took the paper back after we got married and I condensed it to a book, which is now Choices, Key to Destiny. For what God has done with that little book, you can't offer me anything in exchange for it. Anything that will give me the, how do I say it now? Anything that would have disturbed me from writing it may it never have happened. It's past now, but if I have the opportunity, all right? Say that if you had done like this, you'd have made a billion naira of those days. Say, will I write? The value, the effect that book has had in the lives of young people, I don't know how you're going to quantify that in money. Because of that book, many children did not do drugs. Yes. Because of it, many have given their lives to Christ. How about getting my point? So please, don't measure this work, this does not work, by what materially is producing for you. You can't do that. I was talking about Christianity being very personal, our God being very near. If you are not sure, go and pray. Sometimes I wonder, is this what I'm supposed to be doing? I was so happy when this issue of Pastor Banking in 10 came up. So now, every week, we will record the number of sessions. I have extra work to do. Every week, we gather in the studio there and record. We keep on teaching the Bible study. We sit here online. On Fridays, a few of us sit down so that we can have it, you know, live discussion online. Hey, keep busy. We keep doing something. Occupy till I come. And when it comes, you will know. You hear what I say? Oh, you will know. You will know. You will know. You will know. Ron Kennelly, he passed on recently, right? How many days ago? Okay. So, a few weeks ago, let's just be like that. I still remember when he told us his story when he came to Lagos then. I went for a meeting and he was ministering there at Victory Christian Center in Satellite Town, Lagos. And he told his story. I saw somebody describe his story online later. I said, I heard this thing live from the man's mouth. He wanted to sing. Nobody agreed to sign him up. He sent his demo tapes everywhere. Nobody, all of them replied, we are not interested now in new artists. So he got frustrated. Now listen, before that time, he was a music director in a particular church. They called him music pastor, okay? And that's the job he was doing. So when everybody refused him, what did he do? He went to the church and locked God inside. Did you hear what I said? He locked the Lord inside. He said, you're not going anywhere. To the Lord. He locked himself inside and said, Lord, please, don't go anywhere. Sit down there. I will play for you. So all the songs he knew, all the songs he had written, he sat. He was there for about 2 hours. He played and played and played and played. He kept on playing, singing all of them. Finally, he lay down on the floor. When he finally got up from the floor, after worshiping and worshiping, he told the Lord, I am not sending any more tapes to anybody. Remember, I said, find something to do. He has found something to do. What was it? Music director in a church. So he put all his energy. Some people are not faithful because of what they are looking out to do. So he put all his energy into that church. What he did not know was that was a pathway to his victory. You know what I'm saying, so? Because the gist spread around town. Have you heard the worship in that church? Hey, have you gone to hear the praise worship in that church? That's how Don Wen. Apparently, they've been discussing him in their music, in their recording label. They now walked in there and said, hello, my name is Don Wen. We're hoping you will consider praying about recording with us. You hear what I said? They wanted him to pray about recording with them. He said to us that, they said, that was one prayer I didn't need to pray. Yes, remember, occupy. Occupy. I said that when he comes, you will know. That if the Lord came, it was done when. The Lord, they borrow body, you understand what I'm saying? You borrow somebody's skin, he will use to come. So he came in done when's skin that day. And Ron Kennedy said, that was one prayer I didn't have to pray. And those people also, Don Wen, Michael Kuman and Co., they were very happy. They approached him. Why? They recorded the first album, Jesus is Alive. I don't know how well that did. The next one they now recorded, Lift Him Up. Oh, God. Who's old enough to understand, to remember Lift Him Up? Judah, did you put up your hand? Come on, put that hand down. Okay, you're a church boy now. Okay, it's true. It's okay, put it back up. My God. Lift him up, shook. In fact, the earth must have vibrated. Lift him up, shook everywhere. It was shortly after, of course, by that time, everybody wanted to not only hear Ron Kenoly, they wanted him to come and teach. And that's how he arrived in Lagos. And that's how come I got to hear him teaching. The ministers, we're just a few of us, not the crowd, just a few of us. Just a few of us, we ministers of the gospel. So, you know, I like telling this story because I'll tell you. So, Ron Kenoly now told me, it wasn't me really, it was us, but I mean, let's make it look personal a bit. He said just before he came, it had been declared the best-selling praise and worship album ever released on this earth. That just before he came to Nigeria at that time. I'm sure Domwe will be thanking God for the day they went to call him. And after that, there was one album after the other, one after the other. I mean, you know how it feels. You enter a church, you don't know anybody there, they are singing your song. I will come into your presence, Lord. So even if they don't give you anything, you should go home and go and worship. Do you follow my point? Yes, you will go there and say, Lord, were you in that service that day? I know you were. The Holy Spirit used me to write that song. That's what happened to Ron Kenoly. Jesus said what? Occupy until I come. When Jesus came, he knew. Jesus came and Ron, and you know the funny thing? He stayed in that church as a music director. In fact, to come to Lagos then, he had to obtain permission from this pastor to be able to come. He didn't just say, I don't need you guys anymore. He said, abide in your calling where you were called. He just stayed there. I don't know whether he finally ever left the church as a music, I don't know. But of course, one album after the other, the man touched the globe. And of course, when he passed, all of us were putting this on our status updates, a status, sharing it everywhere, thanking God for his life, singing his songs to remember him. You know, if he had kindled his own fire, waiting for the Lord is not easy, but waiting, we must. Waiting for the Lord is not easy, but waiting, we must. I wanted to teach something to us today, but the Holy Spirit said, no, that was not my plan. So I left that. I wanted to talk about excuses. And I think I've preached the message for today.
Yes, sir.
I've preached the message for today. Yeah. So if God allows us, we'll handle that one another time. But let's take a moment and pray so we can go home. You know what to pray about. I don't know what to tell you. As I was speaking, you knew what you were supposed to pray about. Of course, if we were to think about what we taught today, it would be, Lord, help me to wait. And the question that I said you could ask him that question, say, Lord, am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Is this where you want me to wait? Did I move to another place instead of where you wanted me to be? What moved me? Which voice did I hear? Now, those are questions you ask. Beginning from now, Lord, which voice am I hearing? Which voice is sending me? It's a very important question. Say, Lord, which voice am I hearing? Which voice is sending me? Which voice am I hearing? Which voice is sending me? Many people have been sent by fear of tomorrow. That's the voice that's calling them. Many people have been called by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and that vain pride of life, the boastful pride of life. It has called many, and they heard. You can't help yourself. Only God can help you. Say, Lord, what voices have I been hearing? Or which voice is leading me, has been leading me? Say, okay, Lord, today I place myself on your altar. I consecrate my ears to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Say that to the Lord. I consecrate my ears to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Search me, O Lord. Try me. Know my heart. Reveal my anxious thoughts. Say, Lord, but this is my desire. And that's what I'm praying about. Say that to the Lord. This is my desire. And this is what I'm praying about. That I will be where you want me to be. That I will not live there before I should live. That I won't be like Saul, the king in Israel then, who will follow the voice of the people. The people had a voice. He followed that voice. He didn't follow the prophetic voice of Samuel. Say, if it's 40 years, help me to wait. I'm not saying it's easy. Say, but Lord, help me to wait. If my name is Moses, Lord, I need to wait. If you appear to be delayed in coming, that's also happened with Saul. It was as if Samuel delayed in coming. Say, Lord, help me to wait. Then make a request. Give me something that's pleasing to you to do while I wait for you. It's a good request. You know, people don't know what to ask for sometimes. Is that the kind of thing you ask for? It looks like I'm idle, and you know you don't like idleness. So, Lord, give me something to do that will not distract me, but will keep me joyful and busy. Then prophesy to your soul. Say, soul, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. You prophesy that thing to yourself. I say to my soul, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. Prophesy to your soul. Say, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. Now, let's give the Lord thanks. So, Father God, we thank you. Just thank the Lord for today. Say, Lord, we thank you. Let's just say a word of prayer for our brethren in churches that are doing programs this period. The Cornerstone Church is doing a program. Pastor Kimote and the Truth Assembly, they are also doing a program. Both of them this weekend. Let's just leave them into the hands of the Lord. Easter Word Seminar is happening in the Cornerstone Church. And Pastor Kimote, they are doing, what's the name of that their program there? The Last Days Conference, the same weekend. Let's just lift up those programs into the hand of the Lord and ask the Lord to bless it, to speak His word through His people who will attend, and to make people attend with open hearts and open ears.
Well, let's just round up our prayers. For some of us, let's pray that God will give us grace to remove the hindrances we have placed against waiting for the Lord. There are certain things we are by our own hands put to take us away from the place of waiting. Say, God, give me grace to remove those hindrances. In Jesus' name, we pray. Father, we thank you because your word will bear fruit in our lives. No word that comes from you returns without executing its purpose. Let it execute the word we have received today. Let it execute the purpose for itself in our life in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Father, for answering our prayers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.